Begin to eat the dust, the dust of Baja California.
It's a great pleasure to have all of you here today.
I thought you all might begin your tour here.
Hello and welcome, my name is Cyril Lachelle, and you're listening to Radio Free Gaming, your official podcast for defunctgames.com. It's been a busy week this week. We've seen everything from the end of Bob Barker's reign on The Price is Right to Tony Soprano getting killed, or maybe not killed. And then we also saw Time Crisis 4 being announced. Woohoo! Well, anyway, but we're not going to talk about any of that, nope. Instead, we're going to talk about somebody else's podcast. That's right, this is somebody else's podcast. This is the audio show where we go through everybody else's podcast so that you don't have to listen to hundreds of hours worth of IGN, GameSpot, 1UP, and all those other people's audio programming. Nope. Instead, we're just going to focus on the best and, well, funniest moments that everybody else said. So sit down, get ready, because we have a really packed show lined up for you today, including stuff from Achievement Junkies, GameSpot, 1UP, and a bunch of other places. So just sit back, get ready, because this is somebody else's podcast. All right, so let's just start out with a brand new entry in somebody else's podcast. While we usually go after the games for Windows and 1UPs and GameSpots and whatnot, I've actually been listening to some of the smaller guys, hoping to find some pay dirt when it comes to the smaller podcasts. And well, I found this one podcast called Achievement Junkies, which is actually a pretty interesting podcast, but the problem is they sometimes say really stupid things. But before we get to that, Achievement Junkies is this daily podcast. It's about 15 or 20 minutes long, where these two people, a guy and a girl, talk about Xbox 360-related content. The problem is that from time to time, they say excruciatingly stupid comments that I feel deserve to be mentioned. And so, well, try to get your mind around this.
Now, I'm not going to give it a score, a number, because I think numbers are outdated.
They're a little biased.
And I haven't played
through it enough. Okay, wait. Stop. Okay. Numbers are biased? Numbers aren't biased. I mean, numbers aren't, they don't have opinions. They don't come in with preconceived notions. They're numbers. Okay. So you think that's the stupidest thing they could say? Nope. Check this out.
Now, did you ever play Bomberman when you were growing up, when you were a wee lass?
You know, I never played Bomberman when I was a wee lass. Is it lass for ladies?
Yeah, it is.
You're a lad for man.
Mm-hmm.
But I did play it on an emulator.
You did?
Yes.
Is that illegal?
It was illegal because I owned the game, but it broke. You know, like I would blow in the cartridge and it would just never work for me. So I did own it. I just didn't really get to rock it. But it's a cute, fun little game. So you have this little cute, funny character that drops bombs in a grid. I love it.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it to come out on the arcade.
Yeah, well, you won't have to wait very long. But Bomberman is one of Hudson's games that I like the most. And I the last time I played it, to be honest, was on a Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Or that was the last version I played, but it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I actually played it fairly recently, within the last couple of years. And I'm a big fan of the single-player Bomberman, but Bomberman is really known for multiplayer, at least in the last 10 years.
Oh, I didn't know
that, actually. Okay. Hang on. You didn't know that Bomberman is mostly known as being a multiplayer game? It's considered one of the greatest party games of all time. It's built around these four- and five-player modes. You didn't know that? And it's not just in the last couple of years. It's been 20 years of this. I mean, the TurboGrafx-16 version of it, Bomberman 93, was 5 players for crying out loud. You didn't know that? Well, here's some more information that you probably don't know. Tetris is a puzzle game, and Final Fantasy is a role-playing game. And that's right, Halo 2 is a first-person shooter. Now you're smart enough to actually do this fucking podcast. Okay. I can't handle that anymore. Let's move on to a different website. One of the best reasons I know of to listen to the GameSpot podcast, the Hotspot, is that they have their own little call-in section where people can call in, leave messages, and they'll answer questions. Usually these are pretty boring questions, but this last week they had a woman that called on that, well, she had an interesting request.
All right, last call.
Hey, Men of the Spot. My name's Crystal, and I'm an unlikely fan. I actually used to hate video games and think they were a complete waste of time. But now, thanks to you and my gamer husband, I actually have grown an appreciation for them. And the reason I'm calling is because my husband and I just shared our 5th anniversary, and I completely forgot. Not only did I forget, but he remembered and spent his video game money he'd been saving to buy me a 30-gigabyte Zoom, which I've been wanting. And I thought the only way I could ever make this up to him is to call this show and get on it and admit that video games aren't evil. They're actually, some of them are pretty sweet, and that there should be more in the world. And that's all thanks to him. And anyway, if you have any good ideas that I could get him to completely rock his world, he has a PS3 and a PSP, let me know. Thanks. Bye.
Boo! Shame on you. Why'd you even play that? Now you just, that's not fair.
What's not fair?
That's worth the 30 gigabyte shot.
I got to admit, thank you, Crystal, for the call, but I got to admit that mentioning that you wanted a Zune and the fact that you're not a dude and you called the show, my first thought was plant. Total plant. Like, which marketing firm do you work
for? Well, then we should give the answer that a plant deserves. And yes. The answer? I find sex works. You might start there.
I can't believe you forgot.
We're supposed to say...
Don't even look at me.
I think we're supposed to say an Xbox 360. Isn't that what we're supposed to say? Because he already has a PlayStation 3 and she wants a Zune, so obviously you should get him a 360.
Well, he must not like the 360 then, right?
Maybe. I can't believe you forgot your anniversary.
I can't... Yeah, well, get out of here.
Who forgets your anniversary?
Oh, boo. He must... So, Crystal, just get a calendar. How about that?
Look, I will admit that I think this call's a fake. I think this is a plant. I think this is a Microsoft employee that called up, that tried to get on with some lame brain stunt, and it worked. But and how do I know that? Because nobody on the planet wants a Zune. Nobody. Not one single person. I mean, unless you're Major Nelson, nobody wants a Zune. That's like wanting a cordless phone over the iPhone. It's just ridiculous. Nobody wants a Zune. No matter what color they put out, no matter how many Master Chiefs they put on it, nobody wants a Zune. It's called a Zune. Nobody wants Zune. All right, let's move on.
Thank you.
All right, next up we have our friends over at KOXM, the official Xbox Magazine podcast. They aren't my favorite podcast. They do have some occasionally interesting interviews, and from time to time they have interesting things to say, but I generally despise the guy's voice, and I'm not a big fan of the podcast. But I listen to it anyway, because from time to time they do have some interesting things to say. For example, in this clip, we hear them talking about an upcoming Xbox Live Arcade game that's based off of a classic game. What is that game? Well, I don't know, because they never say the game's name. In fact, they say everything but the game's name. So I'm going to let you try to figure it out. You guys are going to think that I made this up or edited it in some way, but I assure you that this has not been edited at all. This is directly in context. They never say the name. We'll just play it and see if you can guess.
Well, something else I think you're going to be way into is I will let you take this one as our chief retroologist. This is right up your alley. Bring it, man. Bring it. Come on. What do you got?
Yes. Well, one of the greatest old school games that has already been revived, but just because it's been revived doesn't mean you don't respect your elders. And your elder is the original coming to Xbox Live Arcade.
Yes.
They are going to do it with a fresh coat of paint, some new foundation, plumbing, maybe some new sod in the front yard, and a pretty pink bingo. So I expect that it'll be all enhanced.
Lawn gnomes, too?
Yeah, sure, why not?
All right, smart guys, what do you think he's talking about? I mean, do you think it's Ninja Gaiden? Do you think it's Strider? Do you think it's Ghouls and Ghosts? What do you think it is? Well, actually, it's Prince of Persia, which you would have known if they hadn't edited out the name themselves. I don't even know about these people. I mean, is that not the stupidest thing that you could do? Well, then again, I suppose you could say that numbers are biased. God damn it, we need to just move on. All right, so you guys know that it wouldn't be an episode of somebody else's podcast if we didn't check in with the Games for Windows Radio people, the GFW guys. So, you know, it wouldn't be a show if I didn't say and remind you all that I'm not a big PC gamer, but I love this podcast. If of all the podcasts that you hear in this, besides, of course, my podcast, if you subscribe to any others, make sure you subscribe to the Games for Windows podcast. It's absolutely fantastic. But and here's an example why. This is another good example, another great example, in fact, of just what makes Games for Windows such a good podcast.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Before we take a break, we're going to go out in style here.
No, well, real quick, we got this email.
Oh, that thing. Oh, yeah.
And
really going out in style.
It was entertaining was awesome. To me because, okay, the subject, well, it was amazing first because it was like in a Whiskey Nerd skit like 3 weeks ago or whatever, I had him basically shilling, doing like, you know, guerrilla marketing on message boards for mm-hmm. food stuffs, you know, right. Air pockets and shit. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I get this email and the subject line is next gen food for next gen gamers. And I was like, holy shit, like my alternate ego like somehow emailed me.
Did you think it was a joke at first or not?
I thought it was a joke, yeah. I was okay.
I totally got the same thing and I thought it was a joke.
And then I opened it and here's what I got. And I'm okay, by the way, my name is not Rory, but it says, "Hi, Rory. As a fan of Computer Gaming Worlds," also notice that. Computer
Gaming Worlds. Wrong name and wrong magazine.
Great gaming reviews. I'm happy to offer you some quality fuel for your late night sessions. I represent Carl's Jr. and Hardee's new spicy buffalo chicken sandwich.
I thought we were not. I thought we were going to blank out.
Oh, I was supposed to blank out. Well, that's fine because now we can turn it back on them. Like, no, notice they don't represent Carl's Jr. and Hardee's. but they specifically represent a spicy buffalo chicken sandwich.
Yeah, that really made me laugh. Before. It's like I told you, I wanted us to write back and say, like, we liked your idea, but we'd rather talk to a representative for one of your other sandwiches.
So yeah.
Personally, I like your curly fries. Can I support those?
Can we speak to the curly fry representative instead?
At least this person had the decency to say they were representing the sandwich and not pretend that they weren't.
I'm a spicy wing sando representative, damn it.
Yeah. I wonder if she's like, where do you think she is on the ladder of PR reps? Is it like, are there people aspiring to represent the buffalo chicken sandwich, you know? Like there's other girls in the office going like, that bitch.
She's only got the extra.
I can't believe she got the buffalo chicken sandwich. Should have been me.
They represent the line of sandwiches.
Yeah, maybe that you start out at Filet-O-Fish. That's
like the shit fish of like, the shit witch of like,
man, if I just work a little harder, I can get the buffalo chicken sandwich.
Jealous of the Whopper guy. He's like, oh, he doesn't have to do anything.
Right. Oh. They'll sell themselves those Whoppers.
If she's listening now for my reward, you can keep the dollar off coupon and just tell me how you felt when you typed that out. How you felt about yourself the moment
how much your soul crumbled every day with every letter strewn.
I felt a lot of money go into my bank account.
Yeah, no kidding. She's probably making more than us, so the joke's on us.
Yeah, but she's getting paid in buffalo wings.
Let's go take a break.
That still sounds all right. Mess with that widget.
I wonder why I'm suddenly hungry after that. Well, to get my mind off of it, I thought that I'd give you a bonus clip from Games for Windows. Now brace yourself. This one's actually really long, but it's an interesting story. It's about 8 minutes long. Yeah, I know. But it's a really good list of what makes a nerd and who's more of a nerd and less of a nerd. And oh my goodness, it's a really, really funny story. And see if you are anywhere on this list. Enjoy.
So, okay, basically, how this works is at the top of the diagram are those who consider themselves less geeky than those that appear in the diagram below them. In cases where they appear parallel to one another, you have circumstances where maybe both of them insist that they're less geeky than the other and vice versa. And those are interesting little moments in the chart. So, we don't have to read every column, but some of them are definitely like worth looking at.
What's at the very top?
The very top, we have... You published science fiction, or you're a published science fiction or fantasy author and or artist.
Okay, published. The key word, right?
Right, being the key word.
Okay.
And then below that, you could be a science fiction fan and fantasy literature fan.
Okay.
And those are just the two top. And then it branches out into eight various forms. And on the far column, we have people who majored in folklore and mythology. Like, pretty respectable. And then you can sort of like... They'll condescend to Renfair folk, and then it says SCA folk. I don't know what SCA is.
Oh, Society of Creative Anachronisms. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, and both...
Don't look at me like I was in it. I just happen to know what it stands for.
Okay, well, you're in there. So both of those will condescend to people who buy expensive replicas of fictional fantasy swords.
Uh-oh. And then I've looked at them. I've never actually paid.
And then at the bottom, they all converge. I've wielded one. Move over, and you'll have comic book fans, and these are parallel to people who... I don't know. Yeah, so a comic book fan is about the same as someone who majored in folklore and myth. And they're superior to a comic book fan who reads only superhero comics, which is funny because I was like actually last week like distinguishing that, I don't read, I read a lot of comics, but just not superhero comics.
Right.
So I'm busted. Below that is actually who I am, which is a comic book fan who reads superhero comics, but that just doesn't mean exclusively. And below that are comic book fans who only read superhero comics.
So they're geeky. To you, they're geeky.
And there are more levels than that, though.
So, again, the folklore major can condescend to me, and I can condescend to Ryan.
What's the bottom level comic one?
Below that are comic book fans who only read X-Men spinoffs.
I love that one.
So, yeah, so the superhero guys are looking down on those guys.
Right. So
that joke only reads.
And that is true, because look, Ryan, totally. I've condescended to you for only being into like superheroes, right?
Which I am.
And
not.
You've condescended to like, oh yeah, great, another X-Men book or something.
That dork only reads ecstatics.
I've heard you say that. Yeah. Okay, so
wait a minute. Go back in that list. The fantasy sword guys are like above the comic book guys.
No, these are all parallel.
They run parallel.
I'm going down.
Oh, okay.
Be very so basically, to
you just kind of read it across.
So
the
basically,
line.
Okay, sorry. Just, yeah, right. You'll have to go to the website
because I was going to dispute that.
Yeah, but the people who buy expensive replicas are parallel to people who only read X-Men spinoffs, and both of those will condescend to one another, insisting that it's the other that's
okay. Important. Right.
The other one is truly inferior.
Yeah. So. Then we have anime fans who insist on subtitles, and this chart places them parallel with anime fans who don't care about subtitles.
They're equal.
They're equal. Anime okay. fans are pretty much like...
Below all. Both of these, you have anime fans who use the term Japanimation. And then this one's weird. Then below that, it's Pokemon fans over the age of 6.
Sorry. Wait, where does Hentai fall on that?
I found
that one hurts personally.
Me too.
Yeah.
So how far down the list is Hentai?
So that's messed. Neither of you can clown on like the Japanimation guys.
No. Well, according to that list, see, I would argue.
You would make your own
person
list.
Who made this
list.
I would put the anime guys below me as a Pokemon fan.
So moving over yet another column, we have video games. So we're pretty fine.
Obviously,
we're up at the top.
Yeah.
Okay. Video gamers. Role playing gamers are below us.
Hey.
Live action role playing gamers are below them.
Okay.
13-year-old gamers of any set are below all of those.
Ouch.
So again, age is like the lowest, you know.
Wow, I don't know about that either.
I don't know. I wouldn't see any a little revision on that one.
Then
I mean not to knock myself, but wouldn't you want to put like 40 plus gamers below like the under 13 gamers?
I know, right? Because that's like a natural thing to be 13 and clearly this is biased this was written by a 40 plus person.
Yeah.
This is undisputed, by the way.
This is gospel.
Yeah, yes. This is.
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna say the further you get to the top of that chart, the non-nerd style is the guy who authored it.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so given that these are parallel columns here, mm-hmm. where do live action role players fit like in the next to like the comic book?
Comic they book fans who only read superhero comic books.
That's about right.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Now,
I agree with that.
Here's where it starts to get fun. Now we start to move into true freakdom. One more click over. where we have amateur sci-fi and fantasy writers. Of course, those are below the published ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who stand above fanfic writers.
Mm.
Then.
I know where this is going.
They stand above erotic fanfic writers.
Oh, boy.
I knew where... Okay. Yeah.
However, erotic fanfic writers and fanfic writers who put themselves into their own stories both stand parallel, insisting that each is less nerdy than the next.
So we've got a diverging path here.
Yeah.
However,
I really need this chart in front of me in order to really appreciate it.
Both erotic fanfic writers and fanfic writers who put themselves in their own stories insist that they are superior to erotic fanfic writers who put themselves in their own stories.
So they're like having sex with Captain Kirk or something.
Right.
Like that kind of thing.
Okay, this is, yeah, ultimately they're the, if this is like the diagram of like Dante's Inferno or something, we've gotten farther down to go. You'll get there.
So which concentric circle are we at now?
Our descent is not complete. We're still moving through the concentric rings, you know.
Yeah.
This one is great because I somehow, the fact also that we know about all this shit.
Well, that proves that we belong on the list.
Right. Okay. So yeah. Amateur sci-fi fantasy artists, this is opposed to writers.
Okay.
Okay.
Are superior to amateur sci-fi fantasy artists who can't get breasts right. And that's pretty common.
Yeah. Usually they're rather large.
However, the sci-fi artist who can't draw boobies mm-hmm. is superior to people who alter scans of sexy and or porn models to make them look like super heroines.
Which we've covered on this very podcast.
Now that is rad because, well, I don't know if we talked about, but like I was sending the links around everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, we were told. Yeah, we all were.
That, what is that site?
Oh, God, I totally forgot.
Oh, where they had like hot superheroes.
Well, they
hot
basically porn stars with porn skins stars. Yeah. And sometimes they're in completely inappropriate poses because they're basically photoshopping their sex partners out of it.
But they've got photoshopping, on like a Green Lantern outfit or something.
And photoshopping, yeah, like a Catwoman suit on them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, why are her legs like that? You know? Why is she doing that? Like, who would
stand
there?
I don't
remember
the Flash doing that.
Yeah. So, but there's, like, that site's out there, and there's tons of stuff like that on it. Okay, of course, science fiction television fans are their own breed at a top.
Uh-oh.
It's respectable enough. It's up there with video gamers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are better than Trekkies. That could be cool because you're I watch Battlestar Galactica.
Sure.
Yep.
I look down on Trekkies and I like Battlestar, so right, I'm with that one.
Okay.
There you go.
But Trekkies will condescend to Trekkies who speak Klingon. And Trekkies who speak Klingon stand above Trekkies who get married in Klingon garb.
Oh, boy. Oh. Yeah.
Now, all of these people are superior to furries.
You mean everybody we've met so far?
Everybody so far.
All converge to furries.
All roads lead
everyone
to furries.
Everyone is
superior. That's
now,
awesome.
Now, the furry is not the bottom of the dunghill, because erotic furries are a step beneath a furry.
Okay. We're going to be hearing from those people.
I can't wait to see those again.
The depths of depravity and geekdom.
Uh-huh.
At the very rock bottom of the geek hierarchy.
Fat furries?
Are people who write erotic versions of Star Trek where all characters are furries, like Kirk is an ocelot or something, and they put a furry version of themselves as the star of the story.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, look, I'm not going to indict myself and say I'm any one of those, so this section's kind of gone a little long. Let's just move on. Cut to the music. Sometimes you just want to feel good about being an American. I don't know about you, but, you know, I like to see people that are articulate and know what they're talking about and can really describe something with vivid detail on television or on podcasts or really anywhere. I mean, that's a real joy. I like to see America well represented. Unfortunately, that's not what happens in this clip. You see, this is Major Nelson interviewing a guy at the Pac-Man World Championship thingamajig that happened in New York City. And, well, let's just say that he's kind of the opposite of what I just said.
All right, Dwayne's here practicing. Dwayne,
tell me what you think of the new maps.
Oh, this is awesome. You don't even realize what's going on, the dynamicness when you hit the power pellets, the maze change. You've got two different sides going on simultaneously. The left side maze is different than the right. And as you eat the power pellets, when you get a 1600, it actually changes the maze on you. And you don't even realize it until you actually look. Hey, that's the other side. Is the map is so big. They don't let you see all the dots at the same time. So you have to systematically clear sections of the board, and then all of a sudden the rest of the dots appear in the maze. You're systematically going through the whole complete maze, but they don't let you see it all at the same time, which is actually really quite unique, so you can't really so much make a pattern.
That's totally radical.
Yeah, so let me be clear. You've only been playing this for like 15 minutes, and you've already figured all this out?
This is my second game. First game got 135. This is my second game. I just beat my high score in my second game.
The way the points escalate, like even I was up already to the second Galaxy and the Bell or whatever like that. I'm not sure how far it is on the whole thing, but
that's totally radical. Like, and they're at different levels depending on which side of the screen you're mapping it out. So like, he did a really good job designing this game. This is a great game.
Great game.
Yeah, it's a great game. All right. I'm stoked.
I'll let you.
Bill Mitchell's going down. That's all I can say. Bring on Tim Ball the Ravens. I'll take you all on.
All right. I'll let you get back to practicing.
Oh, cool. Thank you. That's just great, man.
Huh. Who would have guessed that Major Nelson was friends with Bill S. Preston Esquire? So, we've made it to our very, very final clip of the show, and not a moment too soon, if you ask me. Well, we're going to end tonight's show the kind of the way that we started the show, which is that we're going to bring in a podcast that we haven't featured yet on somebody else's podcast. We're not going to end with GameSpot or IGN or any of those, because we've already done them. We're going to bring in, this is, I believe, Joystick, who has their own podcast, and well, they have what has to be the single most annoying theme song of all time. I'm not kidding. This makes my
my ears bleed and my heart want to stop. This is an absolutely horrendous theme song. So just so you know what I'm talking about, enjoy.
Welcome to Joystick Podcast number 8 for Wednesday, May 23rd. I'm your host, Chris Grant.
This is Ludwig Kitzman.
And I'm Jerome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, there we have it. We're finally to the end of another episode of Somebody Else's Podcast, brought to you from Radio Free Gaming, your official podcast to defunct games. And while I don't think there's really anything more to say except, let's go from that piece of shit song to at least something that is listenable. Let's just end this show. Why don't we? All right.